Good afternoon. I'm Adam Ragusea, and it's time for You to Ask the Mayor. Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight is on the line with us. He's here to answer questions about city issues of concern to you, and we extend a special welcome and invitation to our Kokomo and Howard County listeners to join the program and chat with us today. The phone number to call to speak with Mayor Goodnight is toll-free, 877-285-9348. That's 877-285-9348. If you prefer, you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu, and I think we have a lot to talk about today. Mayor Goodnight, how are you feeling?
Just fine. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing all right. I just want to start with something kind of fun, which is that you had a fun experience this time last week. You got to drive that 1923 Haynes Blue Ribbon Speedster for a lap around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it was very exciting. I tell people I did not ride in the car. You actually drive that car. It has a choke on the dashboard, a spark on the steering wheel, which you have to adjust occasionally while you're driving it. Three-speed, of course, I'm driving the stick wasn't a problem, but the manual choke and the spark, no power steering, very large steering wheel, but beautiful car. Driving it around the track, drove it about a mile and a half. Before I got to the track, we hauled it down there, parked at a local park, drove it to the track, around the track, and only got it in third gear a couple times. The thing, it was built to run, and it still runs well.
And did you get up to 75? That was its top speed, right?
You know, there were two state troopers parked on the track, and I thought it was best that I did not do that. So the speedometer, that was interesting about the vehicle itself, 1923, a lot of standard options, had side pockets in the doors for maps and things, had full gauge and instrument panel. Some of them aren't working. The speedometer does not work, but I think the guy in front of me, Tim Rivers, said that we got it up to about 35.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah, well, it's a great reminder of the instrumental history of the role of the city of Kokomo in the history of the automobile. So it's a great event.
Yeah, very privileged.
Yeah. Again, toll-free 877-285-9348. You can chat with Mayor Goodnight here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. I guess we'll go ahead and dive right into the big issue of the day, which was, it was really just a month ago. You actually talked about it for one of the first times on our program. Plan to, with two ordinances, to annex two separate areas of the county near the city. 14.2 square miles, about 1,400 city residents to annex them into the city of Kokomo.
14,000.
I'm sorry. 14,000. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Right.
14,000 residents. And, the biggest scene so far has been that meeting that you had at Oak Brook Community Church, where it seemed as though you got a little bit of a chilly reception. How have things been going for you so far?
Well, let me say a few things.
Sure.
The meeting at Oak Brook was put on by the trustee of Harrison Township. We asked to participate. It was his call. It was his meeting. He said he wanted, it's his trustee.
Sure.
He's township trustee. So we did not participate in that event, nor did we attend. So the trustee from Harrison Township did put on a public meeting,
mm-hmm.
and so we did not participate in that. We've had a few. We had one last night with a couple of the neighborhoods, Terrace Meadows and the Stony Brook subdivision. Had one last week with the Indian Heights subdivision.
And it's worth noting that the Indian Heights Community Association has come out in favor, right?
Yes. Yeah, we've got, first of all, 14,000 residents. Kokomo population's around 47.5 right now. So it's a big addition to the city. Somewhere in the neighborhood, you're looking at close to 30% increase in population.
Yeah.
And it is not a power grab. In fact, I'm a Democrat. The Republican Party chair laughed at me and said, you realize you're bringing in about 10,000 Republicans and to the 4,000 Democrats. So it's not to expand my base of power or anything else. I do believe it's the right thing to do, and I've always said that good policy is good politics, and I think if people look at this long-term, really a lot of people do see it. The biggest negative I get, people will say, I think this is a good idea, I understand a lot of it, but I don't know if it's good for my neighborhood. That's usually, people do see the big picture, and but when it gets personal, they tend to look, you know, internally, and that's okay. I'm getting that reception. But
yeah, well, obviously, you're not going to get 14,000 people to agree on anything,
right?
But what's, you know, when you hear people expressing concerns to you, what does it get down to? They're just afraid their taxes are going to go up.
That's part of it. There's a lot of misinformation.
What are some of the myths that you've been hearing?
The biggest myth is we are looking. A lot of this goes beyond the Kokomo Center Township School Corporation into the Northwestern, Western, and Taylor School Corporations. So there's a lot of people, and I think we've gotten this out now. I'm hoping this clears up. But they keep saying, well, our kids will have to switch schools and start attending Kokomo Center schools, or we'll have to pay for Kokomo Center schools. And the newspapers have done a pretty good job here of clearing that up, and we still get a few emails each day, we have no say over the school corporations. Those are based on township lines, and so that's one of them. There's been people knocking on doors and saying, well, the city has to provide fire protection whether we're annexed or not, and so there's no reason for us to be annexed. That's not true. There's only two ways the city can provide fire protection for residents: one, if they're citizens of the community, or two, if they have which we do with the Center Township Trustee, if we have an agreement with the Township Trustee to provide fire protection for the outlying areas of the city. So those are probably two of the biggest issues. People do always get back to taxes and what services will I receive, and what's this going to cost me, and some different things. A wide array. We're looking at bringing a whole array of people that are basically surrounding the city, almost on all sides.
So and what about what kind of support have you gauged on the council?
Right now, the city council passed it on first reading 9-0, mm-hmm. and we have a 5-4 Democrat majority, but it was passed 9-0 at the first reading. Second reading is not till, I believe, the first meeting in July, second reading, and then the remonstrance period starts. So the council has been supportive. Most people in the community, like I say, they understand it. They do get it. They get somewhat territorial when it talks about their individual home or business. I hear so many comments of, this is good. I think this subdivision and this subdivision obviously makes sense, but I'm not sure my neighborhood should be a part of it. And like I say, that's, I understand that. That's not necessarily a negative thing.
Well, those folks who are most vociferous in their opposition to this, and those who are leading the opposition to this, what do you think is really motivating them? Is there anything that you would characterize as a little bit underhanded going on, or is it just misunderstanding?
No, I think, and I say this in a respectful way. It's, and I don't mean this to be sarcastic, but it's probably fear of the unknown. There are, you know, the circuit breakers of through the state legislature and the governor, the circuit breakers will take effect in 2010, which would be the first year that anyone annexed this year would begin paying city taxes. So for a lot of these residents, their current taxes will go down by 2010 once they're annexed. And so they will receive they'll be paying less taxes in 2010 than they're paying in 2008. And receiving city services. Their biggest concern is, well, those circuit breakers could change with the governor's signature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. And I tell them, we had a meeting last night, that's true. All laws can change. You know, that's with any law out there. We change city ordinances on a regular basis. People come to us about zoning issues. We just changed the fines, not the cost to park downtown, but the cost of the fines if you violate the parking ordinance. So, that's the way government works. You should be able to adjust and change as be it. So right now, that's probably the biggest concern, that, yeah, this makes sense and we're okay with it with the circuit breakers, but could those circuit breakers change or be altered? And the answer, of course, is, you know, obviously, yes, it could.
Well, not to beat the issue to death,
sure.
But I just want to give you a chance to make another pitch, which is just that to someone who's living in Indian Heights or any other one of these neighborhoods, and they ask, well, what's in it for me? What do you say?
Well, hopefully that's one of the questions they ask. First of all, you know, I'm trying to build a sense of community. That, you know, let's just, you mentioned Indian Heights. Let's talk about Indian Heights. The Indian Heights is the largest subdivision that we're looking at annexing. I always have said, there are people that still say, well, I thought Indian Heights was in the city. Surrounded by the city, probably 25-30% of the neighborhood is surrounded by the city today through businesses, other subdivisions, Highland Springs, and then to the north a little bit. So, you know, part of it is, well, it's not, you know, it's what's best for our community as a whole. And so that hopefully they're at least keeping that in consideration. When they ask what's in it for me, for residents of Indian Heights, right now, we found this out through people's contact with us, that they're being charged for trash pickup by private contractors, and that's all over the map. There are individual people that would qualify for a senior citizens discount that are paying more than families of four, and it's kind of all over the map on what they pay each quarter for their trash pickup. Right now we have no fee for the city of Kokomo and are not looking at instituting a fee anytime in the near future. I mean, I can tell you we're not going to be putting a trash fee in for the next 2-3 years, if ever. I can see that far down the road. So they'll save money that way. They are on city sewers currently. We charge two different rates, a resident rate and a non-resident rate, and the non-resident rate is 25% higher. So if they're annexed to the city, their sewage bill would go down, and they would no longer have to pay the 25% higher rate.
What about police protection?
Police protection, absolutely. Right now they're serviced by the Sheriff's Department. They would have city police protection, part of our fiscal plan, which has been approved by Crowe Chizik, the accounting firm that does a lot of work with municipalities and county government, school corporations. They've approved our financial plan, and it talks about adding extra law enforcement. And so, I mean, I think the people that came to the Indian Heights meeting last Monday, and I think somebody told me there were between 125, 140 people there. I didn't count. Even though some of them walked in adamantly opposed, some of them even came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I think this is the right thing, but I really wish we had more time to digest it. And I understand that. I mean, that's a legitimate concern. So so there's a lot of things to offer. The other part is street lighting, paid for by the city. Right now, Indian Heights has a volunteer fire department, and they would have city fire department. We're looking at building a fire station on the southeast corner. The perfect location is somewhere just to the north and slightly to the east of Indian Heights, but we're open to where we locate that facility.
All right. Well, so You've mentioned as part of your justification for wanting to do this that if you can increase the city's population figures, the city will be at a greater eligibility for some federal or state money for various things. Could you point to some specifics there?
Yeah, local road and street based on your road miles, motor vehicle highway fund on your street miles, community development block grant based on population. That's a good one. Right now, the eligibility says that you have to have 50,000 residents. Kokomo's never hit the 50,000-person mm-hmm. mark.
And this would definitely put it over, right?
Yeah. So I always feel like we have been at risk of losing that money, which is usually anywhere from $850,000 to over $1 million a year that we get in CDBG money. There's a lot like cigarette tax, our share of that. Is based on population and some of the alcoholic beverage commission gallonage tax and things like that are based on population. So there are some state and federal monies that we're missing out on. I also, part of it is Kokomo, go back to 1980, was in the top 10 cities in the state mm-hmm. as far as population. I'd say if we do nothing, I'm not sure we'll be in the top 20 by the 2010 census count. And I think we have to reestablish ourselves as the north central hub of Indiana, and you know, make sure that we are duly recognized on a state map and in a even in a map of the Midwest, and should be considered for any economic development needs. A lot of times, somebody brought up a question. Well, they had the Catrog plant last year, and it went to Tipton. Yeah, that's true. And a lot of times, that's the case with Indianapolis. Places will locate near Indianapolis. They may be just outside in one of the smaller cities, but they are basing it on the demographics of the city. And so I need to make, you know, I think it's important we make sure that we're recognized in this area.
You mentioned that some folks have said to you, well, I like this plan in theory, but might need some more time to chew on it. Do you have the luxury of taking some more time on this?
Well, you know, anything can be put on hold. Part of it is the to qualify for a lot of these federal and state monies based on population, they go by your decennial census count, which will be in 2010.
Yeah.
The statute says to be counted for that, you have to have the annexation completed by 2009. So really we don't have, if we wanted to count to on the 2010 census, which guides you for the next 10 years, it needs to be completed this year. The only other option is to do a hire and have a private census done, which can be quite expensive. I read somewhere Fisher's did this themselves, and it cost well over $500,000.
Wow, yeah.
So if we're going to do it, I think the time is right now to do so. And I think when people sit back, you know, catch their breath, look at the overall, the good and the bad, we usually have two groups that either convert and say, you know what, maybe this is a good thing. And then we have the others that say, you know what, I'm still opposed to it. But I understand it and just don't see that the good outweighs the bad, and that's okay, too.
How will the remonstrance period work?
I believe it starts after the second reading, and then I think they have 90 days to remonstrate, come up with, I think they have to hit over 65% mm-hmm. of the affected property and properties, and then from there, I think, you know, then goes, I'm not sure of the whole process. We'll wait and see if that happens.
You think you're in danger of that happening?
Well, you know, people have a right to, what I'm getting, I think, yeah, I mean, there's anything can happen in that. And really what that does, I think, my understanding is it just gets it to where they can, you know, bring up the issues. And our fiscal plan is I mean, we went to the extreme to make sure we we put the worst case scenario on our financial picture.
Mm-hmm.
This is assuming we can't reach agreement on the fire coverage with the trustees in a couple of the townships and some of these things. We're streamlining a lot of things right now, especially in our trash pickup, which will even drive the cost for annexation down, which will be beneficial to everybody. So our fiscal plan is rock solid. So I'm not so sure what will happen if the required signatures are collected. I still feel good about our fiscal plan.
All right. Well, I'm glad we had a chance to talk about that so thoroughly. We're speaking with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Any Kokomo residents would like to weigh in on the situation, we'd love to hear from you. 877-285-9348 is the toll-free number. You can also send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. And let's go to the emails. Here's an email on another topic from Tom, and it says, Mayor Goodnight, what is the status of a 2006 plan for the former Continental Steel site that showed baseball fields, soccer fields, an amphitheater, a roundabout, and the rebuilding and beautifying of Park Avenue?
Yeah, well, that I just got an update today, an email from Pat Likens with the Indiana Department of Environmental Management. Have not had a chance to read it. It came across sometime late last night. So I haven't got an update on the cleanup situation. The plans itself, the former administration had some ideas on developing that part into an adjacent part of Highland Park. The only problem with that is we do not control the property at this point. It is still in private hands. Once the taxes are called, that property will revert to the county, which it's been discussed numerous times on what will happen at that point, whether they'll develop it, whether they'll hand it over to the city and such. So at this time, I haven't put the city doesn't have control of the property. And so there has been discussions that possibly the county wants to do something with it, and if they do, they actually, by law, have first chance.
Sure, yeah. But if, in fact, it does go to the city, do you think you could give Tom an indication of whether or not what you'd end up doing with it would be similar to that 06 plan that came out of the MacKillop administration?
I'm not so sure it would be similar to that. There's been talk about having an urban forest there. I've gotten a lot of, we talk about planting trees and having maybe just some just some either crushed stone, walk path through the area, and create somewhat of an urban forest. And that plant seemed to have gotten as much positive response as any. So when that time comes, I think that's one that can be done fairly inexpensively, and still make sure that it's the land's always there, that if it needs to be developed in the future, you're capable of doing that without making a huge
Having invested in a lot of parks and rec facilities.
Right, making huge alterations to the property.
All right, that's interesting. On the topic of parks and recreation, wondering if you can maybe give us an update on what's going on with the potentiality of a new YMCA in the downtown area, which is an idea that has had your support, I believe.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a few years now, and we seem to be moving forward, and unfortunately, I think the county commissioners, one of them who'd been sitting in meetings for a year and a half, raised some questions that just really are not pertinent to the conversation. All at the 11th hour, they had concerns about using tax dollars for a YMCA, and really the money was not for the YMCA. It was to clean up the property and acquire the property and make it suitable to build a YMCA, mm-hmm. but one of the commissioners...
That would be edit money, right?
Yeah, the city. Part of it was edit money from the county, some through the trustee's office, and then the rest was coming from brownfield grants and such from the from state and federal. And it did bother me when one of the commissioners said, well, should we really be giving money to a Christian organization? Well, a couple things. Number one, I mentioned earlier, community development block grant money. There's a huge litmus test we must go through to spend CDBG money. We have to put it in our grant application. It's reviewed. They will ask for further information. There's a lot that goes through this. They have always approved the YMCA as suitable for spending federal tax dollars for programs at the YMCA. So if the federal government, which I always say is the largest red tape bureaucracy in the world, approve spending tax dollars on the YMCA, I would think that the county commissioner should probably, if the federal government does, he should probably just concede on that. But anyways, that's not real happy with that. But so they've kind of put this on hold. They want to have a public meeting after a year and a half of talks, and so we'll go through at the public meeting and see what the outcome is.
All right. We'll check in after that happens. We've got about six more minutes left with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. And we've got another email in, and this is going back to the annexation issue. It's from Emily, and it says, the annexation plan seems to be a poor Band-Aid for economic problems of Kokomo. What are your long-term plans for supporting what has been the automotive bubble economy of Kokomo, especially once many new city residents will face financial disparity after annexation costs?
Actually, a lot of residents won't. We've went through. Some people will show an increase in their taxes. Some people will have a reduction based on the circuit breakers. And then people that are paying for their trash service and things, when they add up all those factors, we've had a meeting last night, and when people compare that if they decide to get on city sewers, that the cost total cost around $6,000 plus the tap-in fee of $1,500 is substantially less, about half the cost of new septics if people are able to put new septics in, depending on their lot size and some of the county codes and state mm-hmm. codes. But anyways, I think it's not a Band-Aid. To me, it's the right thing to do. I always say the opposite of annexation, I guess. What would that be, Adam? Unannexation, de-annexation. We
casting off areas of the city.
Yeah. We don't grow our city. We shrink our city. Yeah. I always say that maybe we should have never annexed Highland Springs or Westbrook or Western Woods, and maybe we should just be a city of 25,000-30,000 people, and then we have just another 30,000-35,000 people that I don't know what you call them, just that are there. So mm-hmm. I think it's the right thing to do. I think there's a lot of people that are kind of, like say, are concerned or have fears of the unknown. The financial problems with the city are not really upon us yet. with the circuit breakers came decisions we have to make that will say we'll lose about $2.2 million of revenue over the next 2 years. And we have already begun the process of preparing for that. The state legislature did give cities 2 years to brace themselves or to make the necessary changes, and we've started that process here in Kokomo. And I always say, regardless of annexation, the city's city will be in good shape by the end of this year and by the end of the next year and by the end of my term. And I'd say if I get nothing else accomplished, we will be fiscally solid.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that whatever economic problems the city of Kokomo does have, some of what you're trying to address here is a result of those actions of the legislature. And then there are, in fact, some very, very economically successful communities throughout Indiana. Columbus springs to mind, that are themselves having to make very difficult decisions regarding city revenue as a result of what's happened with the circuit breakers.
And it's unfortunate that some people don't want to recognize that this is having it's having an impact on county government here in Howard County. Now, we were somewhat we prepared last year. We, being the city and the county, worked together and passed local option income tax, which helped us somewhat prepare for this this year by shifting some of the responsibility to an income tax as opposed to become so reliant on property taxes. So we prepared. And we were, I think, one of only 10 counties that did so. But you're right. It's going on in every community. Noblesville, people, you know, some of these communities in Columbus that people believe are these progressive, wealthy communities, they're making the same choices that we are. And in fact, I'm going to be at a mayor's conference tomorrow. And that's part of one of the hot topics. We're sharing ideas and concerns, and hopefully I'll walk away with some other ideas. But we, one thing I'm always good at is being responsible with money, my wife even,
she can vouch for that.
She been accused of being cheap. So, but we'll do what's right, and really one doesn't have anything to do with the other. But in some ways, it does. It does have to do with economic development and repositioning ourselves. And I always, want to ask those people that are against it: Would we be better off then if we de-annexed certain parts of our city and just went back down to the old boundaries of Deffenbaugh Street or Boulevard Street on the south end of town, and Phillips Street on the west end of town? And just, I don't know if that's a better way of governing. I'd kind of like to see the long-term thoughts on that.
Well, Mayor Goodnight, we'll check in with you and we'll see how this all shakes out. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us this week, as always.
Adam, just as a pleasure, and it's always nice speaking with you.
Absolutely. We have been speaking with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Join us again next week when Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong will be our guest. Production support for Ask the Mayor comes from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate. For producer Colin Bishop and engineer Mike Pascash, I'm Adam Ragusea. Thanks for listening.